This is the Billy and the Brian Show. Billy knows and Brian knows how to be snarky,
how to be silly,
how to be funny,
how to be witty,
how to be Brian,
and how to be Billy.
And that's really, really good to know because it's our show.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of the Billy and Brian Show. Our 30th episode spectacular.
Wait a second. We've only had one spectacular that I remember.
I feel like any time we hit a zero or a five at the end of the number, we should have like a double-sized anniversary episode. They do that in comics all the time.
But it's still not our 30th spectacular, because in that case, we've only had six spectaculars.
Oh, I get what you're saying. This is our second spectacular.
Yeah, it's our second spectacular.
But our 30th overall.
Yeah, it's our 30th episode.
The second spectacular.
I feel like, I don't know if it's going to be that good.
Would you say it's amazing? Sensational?
You're raising expectations to a level I'm not sure we can meet.
How about web of?
Web?
I'm just using adjectives that precede Spider-Man titles.
Web of?
Yeah, web of.
Oh, W-E-B-U-V?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you see that Reddit post this morning? It was pretty web of.
Yeah, that's when you upvote something on Reddit, right? A web of?
Yeah. We web of it.
I web of it.
Start over? Or?
No. Okay. This is gorgeous.
It'll sound good in post.
What happened to that jazzy music that was playing underneath
me? Want some
before?
Jazzy music?
Yes, I want some jazzy music.
All right.
So everybody,
when we get sued
it's the
by independent musicians from Brooklyn.
Yeah, don't.
Who knows?
Don't alert them.
Oh, sorry. I was going to go to their Facebook and let them know.
Independent movies from somewhere. Musicians from somewhere. Who knows? Maybe they're from Brooklyn. Maybe they're not.
If they're independent musicians, they're either from Brooklyn, Portland, or Austin.
Yeah,
those are the only places.
That's like a giant triangle.
It's true.
Yeah.
It would make a triangle.
And I bet they're rather fey, too. We could take them on a flight, Brian.
I don't know what this guy's like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have a big beard? Just tug on it.
I don't know what this guy's like. Do you want to ask me more things about him? Because my answer's going to be the same.
So
I don't know what he's like.
This is our best of 2014 episode of the Billy and Brian Show.
It was going to be our best of 2015, but I don't know. I haven't read five books or... probably listen to five different podcasts.
You've watched five movies.
I've watched more than five movies.
How many movies? Okay, we're recording this on January 23rd. Brian, how many movies have you watched so far in 2015?
800.
No, for real.
23. 22.
That's still a ridiculous number. Wait, I thought you were doing a movie a day.
What's today?
The 23rd.
Yeah, I haven't watched a movie today. I've been busy.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression that you were ahead of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I was for a while.
Okay. Still, 22 movies? That's a lot.
That is a lot of movies. That's like one a day. That's roughly one a day.
I'm amazed you have time for this podcast. I feel like I'm cutting into valuable movie watching time. Right.
Well, not to peek behind the curtain too much. It's 8:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or daylight time? I never know which is which.
I never know which is which either.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And Eastern time.
I feel like most people who type out EST don't know which is which either.
Probably not.
Yeah.
And I think that's my main reason for wanting to abolish daylight saving time.
That's why I just go, it's 8:23 Eastern.
But it's 8:17.
Oh, 8:17 Eastern.
Because sometimes I go, it's 8:23, but only when it's actually 8:23.
But when you just say Eastern, it just punctuates that. It's the baller move for telling you what
time it is. I usually say, so
time.
Right now, as of 8:17, 7:17 Central, I have to do this podcast, so that'll take like 4 hours. And then I won't have time to watch a movie today.
Listener, I'm thinking the same thing as you. It's still 8:17. They've been talking
Central.
They've been talking about this minute for the past 3 hours.
Well, it's 8:18. All right. Yeah. Oh, I was afraid my computer like crashed or something, and that clock was just stuck forever.
So we always do.
Wait a second. Sorry, I was microwaving something, and there were 8:18 left.
We're still on that stuff. So. We do a top five every episode, but for our year-end episodes, we do a plethora of top
six.
Fives. Yeah, we do six top fives.
Oh, wait. A top 30.
Yeah, we used to do five top fives. And it's not our favorite top fives of the year, but it's our top five favorite of each category. So we're going to be doing today movies, TV, and books, not in that order. And then in the next episode, we'll be doing podcasts, songs, and albums.
possibly in that order.
Yeah, possibly.
It's a mystery. You're going to have to tune in next week.
Yeah. Same 8:18 time, same Back Brian's apartment channel.
Wait, are we on a channel?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, oh, I set up webcams all over your apartment. I charge people $9.99.
I thought you just got me a bunch of teddy bears for Christmas.
They're snuggly though, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. And... Brian, I've gotten some feedback. More open.
Wait, do I have to adjust the channels, the levels? Too much feedback. Audio joke.
That was good.
Thanks.
Your former roommate will appreciate that.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to podcasts.
That's ironic. It's an audio form. He's an audio engineer.
He doesn't like live music either.
I guess it's kind of
the audio's not up to his standards.
It's kind of like a OBGYN and vaginas, am I right? I have no idea if I'm right or not. I know no OBGYNs.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, so should we just get right into movies?
I suppose we could BS for a little while about nothing, but it's kind of our thing.
I think we had our quotient for that already.
All right, so it's 8:20 on a Friday.
Do we have to be
time for a top five list.
Yeah, that is probably not the time someone's listening to this, though. They probably don't care what time we are.
I think it sets the mood.
Okay. I like the jazzy music underneath. I think that sets the mood.
This isn't as jazzy.
You're hanging out with Billy and Brian.
All right.
And we're going to give you your top five.
If an audio commercial comes on in the middle of this, that's because I'm too cheap to pay for premium audio.
Premium.
And I forgot to fix it in post.
Forgot.
So, top five movies.
Movies.
So.
Movies is my favorite of these categories because I love movies. Closely followed by TV.
I would say it's hard to choose.
Oh, I can easily choose.
Because I love podcasts. Yeah. And, I love songs.
I really have, like, a top two podcasts. No offense to the other three podcasts in my top five.
All right, but we're not talking about podcasts. We're talking about movies.
Yeah.
Top five movies.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Sure. Should I talk about... I told Billy I'd save this story for the podcast, so I better tell it. He asked me about the movie Tusk that Kevin Smith made with Warren Cheswick from Ed.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He's the star of it.
He's Tusk?
And so the short story is that I got four different movies out of the library, and of three of those and one I got from Netflix, they all were the four worst 2014 movies I saw, and I saw them all in a row.
Wow.
They were bad. It was... in no particular order, Tusk, Tammy.
No, Tammy was bad. I heard Tammy was funny.
Tammy was not good. No. It wasn't as bad as I heard. I heard lots of horrible things about it.
Oh, really?
And it was just not good.
I love movies, but I haven't seen it.
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, that wasn't good either?
No. Everything I heard about that was terrible, too.
I liked it more than
the reviews I saw.
Hmm.
And Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Yeah, that looked pretty weak.
That was... just disappointing.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, those weren't awful, so I avoided any truly horrendous movies. But of my five favorite movies, The Grand Budapest Hotel was number five.
Wow, only number five? I'll give you a hint, that's further up the list for me.
I watched it again on HBO, and it was, I think I liked it a little bit more, but for some reason I was just a little cold on it in the theater, and I think I like Wes Anderson too much, and it just wasn't as good as some of the others for me, and I think that lessened it in my opinion.
Oh, I absolutely loved it. My number five was Interstellar, the part of the Matthew McConaughey resurgence, but that was just such a cool movie, especially on the big screen.
Grand Budapest Hotel, yeah. Oh, Interstellar.
You didn't like Interstellar? I saw Interstellar with you.
Interstellar, I had it... It was probably in my top five until recently.
Okay.
It landed at number nine on my list.
Yeah. Interstellar is not the only outer space movie on my list.
The Grand Budapest Hotel had an awesome space scene. We already established this. Are we going to keep just talking about one movie?
But Interstellar is great.
Interstellar, like, there were a couple cool scenes that it was cool to see it in IMAX, but really, I thought the best part of the movie was just the story, which everyone complained about.
Yeah, like, I like the story a lot. And I think people should see it on the IMAX, or in 3D, on the IMAX.
I think if you miss your chance, it's still worth seeing. Like, there were a couple really cool scenes, but a lot of it was just, like, personal moments, and it was good story.
Nice.
My number four was another outer space movie that all of my top... Well, all my top five or six were pretty... Could have gone anywhere. But I eventually landed at number four with Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a lot of fun, really good, really well written. It was good.
Yeah, I loved Guardians of the Galaxy. You and I caught a very late show of it when we saw it in the theater. I think we caught like an 11 o'clock show.
I think that's true.
And I was really tired by that point because it was like a Friday night. And
it wasn't 8:24 like we're filming this podcast. It was like 11:30.
I remember being really, really out of it at the end of the movie and like fighting to stay awake. Even though the movie was great, I was just exhausted. And it was definitely in my top five and probably would have been my number four. But having watched it again just last night, I can say that it has definitely moved up. So
yeah, I had it closer to the top for a while. And then as I was reconfiguring things, because I keep a list throughout the year and just so I don't have to. So I remember how I like things relative.
Mm.
And it was right up there. But then I decided at the end that the other things I had to list higher. But, you know. It could have been my number two.
My number four was Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
I like that a lot. I guess that came out in what, February?
March.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I didn't see a ton of movies early in the year. And so that was at the top of my list for a long time, or near the top. In the end, it was right around halfway of all the movies I saw.
Mm.
But not in a bad way. It was just... Like, everything I put above it, I was like, that was really good, but I like this one better.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I was not excited for Captain America 2, just because the first one was a little cheesy. It was like maybe a B, B minus. It was easily my least favorite Marvel Studios movie. But the second one, man, they handled that Winter Soldier story so well. Because that's based on a comic book storyline, and they just... They added so much intrigue into it. And not only was the movie awesome, but it ended up making Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. awesome, which was kind of floundering for a while.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sucks is a harsh word, but I think it's at least close to applicable up until that point. But then it's gotten actually really good.
Yeah. Anybody who's given up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and hasn't seen Winter Soldier needs to watch Winter Soldier and then just watch all the episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after that.
Because I don't blame you for giving up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before that.
I do.
I was very close to giving up, but then it did get a lot better. That movie gave it a reason for existing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But yeah, Winter Soldier was great, and I'm really hoping that Anthony Mackie returns in Avengers 2 as the Falcon.
Yeah.
Because he was the relationship that he and Steve Rogers have was just fantastic.
And if he doesn't return as the Falcon, if he puts that hat on from the Adjustment Bureau, that guy was pretty cool too.
That's true. I did like the Adjustment Bureau, and I do like hats. What's your number three?
My number three was the fourth of those movies I got from the library, along with the three shit houses. It was Mood Indigo, which is a Michel Gondry movie. He's the guy who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay.
And The Science of Sleep and other really weird movies.
Right.
So Mood Indigo is a French movie. So it's a reader, as some people call subtitled films. But it has Amélie is the co-star and some French dude.
Nice.
And it just got a bunch of weird, like, practical special effects that look like they should be CGI. But they also look, I mean, they are real. And they look kind of stop motion at some point, which I guess some of them probably are. And it's just this weird dream world, sort of, and everything's just weird. And then, like, the story sort of kicks in, and then it gets to be, like, a love story and then a tragic love story. So it kind of dropped on my list just because it got so sad at the end.
Yeah.
But it was really, really well done.
I don't think I've even heard of that movie.
I feel like I saw something about it a long time ago that it was coming out, and then saw that it came out, and then eventually I was just looking at movies that I missed from this year, and the library had it, and it's really worth checking out. And it's just fun to listen to people talk in French. It's all like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, what are they even saying? I mean, it's like, it's not even English. Oh, boy.
So, my number three movie, and really, the this could even go so far as to talk about my number four movie too, Captain America 2. These top four movies were all, it was so hard to rank them. Like they're in like the hundredth decimal spot separating them, in my opinion.
Yeah, all of mine were like, pretty much the same.
Like, it's almost like a four-way tie for first place. It's definitely a three-way tie. But my number three, and this is hard to say, this was only the third best movie, because if it wasn't for the other two, it would have been my favorite movie of the year, was Grand Budapest Hotel. I absolutely love this movie, walking out of the movie theater. Ralph Fiennes is just the epitome of charm in that movie.
Yeah, he did a great job. Yeah. I mean, there's so many people that Wes Anderson uses all the time,
right?
And him being a new person, it's, you know, awesome that he like jumped into the tempos of how he writes, and that all that stuff worked so well.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that again. I bet if I'd rewatched that would have been higher on my list.
Yeah, if you have HBO Go or know someone who does, then. It just got added there recently.
Oh, sweet. Maybe I'm watching that tonight. So what's your number two?
My number two is another little movie. It's called God Help the Girl. There was a soundtrack for it that came out.
I like the band.
Well, there was a soundtrack 5 years ago by the guy from Belle and Sebastian.
Right.
And I think he wrote the screenplay or was writing it, and then wrote some songs to go with it. And couldn't get the movie made because that takes a lot of money, but made the album.
Oh, okay.
And it's basically him writing what could be sort of Belle and Sebastian songs. Some of them are a little bit more like 50s pop, but with mostly girl singers in it.
Yeah.
And then finally this year he made the movie, and the movie's great. It's like this sort of Hard Day's Night kind of thing, and the songs are a little literal, and the, you know, the scenes that go with the songs are a little bit literal, and it's a little on the nose, but it definitely hits my sweet spot, and I could see if other people didn't like it as much, but it's the perfect kind of movie for me.
I'm going to try to bring up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as often as possible and point out that God Help the Girl, the song, was used, I believe, in an early episode this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That was used when
Simmons' little... When you find out what happened to her and her little montage at the beginning of the episode.
When Scully goes through her day.
Yeah.
She's pretty much a Scully.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And I was really excited to hear that song because I've loved that album so much. It's one of my go-tos if I just need to put something on. And it's great music. And the movie is just sort of like a technicolor, like magic musical world sometimes. And also sort of really depressing sometimes.
Nice.
And it's just about these teenager young adults who want to start up a band.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're kind of nerdy, but they start up a band and, you know, write some songs. It's great. And I found it just, like, it left the theater in, like, a week or two, and I didn't have a chance to see it. But it happened to be streaming online and didn't seem to be, like, a super illegal pirate stream. It just seemed sort of legit. So Google it and watch the movie.
Nice. Yeah, so that album came out a while ago?
Came out, I think I looked last night, it was 2009.
Oh, wow. Because I'd never listened to it before earlier this year.
Yeah.
Actually, right around the time of that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. And I just assumed it was from this year. It's a good thing I didn't put it on my list. I didn't think to put it on.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely would have. And actually, I was reading an article about more things about the Oscar Best Song nominees and how sort of stupid. Not just the best song, but how their requirements sort of are fuzzy sometimes. Like, Whiplash was up for best adapted screenplay, even though it's adapted from the short film that the guy made to try to get funding for the movie.
That still makes sense.
Yeah, it's sort of adapted.
Yeah, no, I would call that adapted.
So I could buy the fact that most of the songs from God Help the Girl are not from this year.
Okay.
Although, I feel like there was some other example they used that was not treated as an adapted older thing. So they're kind of fuzzy with the categories. But there were a couple new songs in the movie that,
right,
compared to the songs that got nominated that were kind of crappy, they definitely should have gotten some of those.
I don't know what. I actually didn't pay attention to what songs got nominated.
I don't completely remember, but definitely. I don't.
Like, if it's not Circle of Life, who cares? Am I right, people?
Yeah. I think Everything Is Awesome did get nominated, so it doesn't.
Yeah, that was like
to
one
that.
Of the. Lego Movie really got robbed this year. I think, yeah, the Oscars. Not even Best Animated Movie, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You're number two.
Yeah. So speaking of the Lego Movie, a day ago I would have gone to say that the Lego Movie not only deserved to be Best Animated Movie of the Year, but Best Movie of the Year. Except I'm going to drop it to number two. But it is definitely the best animated movie I've seen this year. And that movie is awesome.
Yeah, everything is awesome. But especially that movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Like
it's just so good.
If anybody did not see it because they're like, oh, it's based on Legos and Legos are for kids, you're definitely missing out. It's definitely a movie that kids would enjoy, but it's also a movie adults would enjoy too. It's like a true all-ages movie. It's not pandering to kids, and it's not like boring for adults to watch.
Yeah, it was the fourth or fifth movie I saw this year, and since then it's been at the top of my list. It is my number one best movie of the year. Maybe it doesn't deserve to be, but I just laughed so hard at parts of that movie that, and the story was really good.
Yeah,
and
look at you loving a Will Ferrell movie.
He did not like him. God, I did not like him. He was not. I did
Brian
not.
Brian doesn't like
him,
Will Ferrell.
He's so unfunny.
He's an American treasure.
And yeah, but I love the movie, and I just laughed so hard in that theater that I just felt like it deserves to be on my list at number one.
If the Dallas Cowboys are America's team, Will Ferrell is America's comedic actor.
I feel the same way about both of them.
So that was my number two movie, and that was your number one movie.
Yes, it was.
Oh, that was a nice little segue we got there. And bringing it full circle, your number five movie was Guardians of the Galaxy, right? No, your number four movie was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Okay, so not full circle.
Almost.
Like a circle little thing on the end, like a cherry.
We should have worked this out before.
Bringing it full cherry.
Full cherry.
You know what? Grand Budapest was my number four. Guardians of the Galaxy was my number five.
My number one movie is directed by the man James Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy. This movie was fantastic. I just watched it again last night. And I honestly forgot how good it was. Like, I knew it was one of the best movies I saw this year, but I think it's actually the best superhero movie.
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
The best Marvel movie. Definitely the best Marvel Studios movie. Yeah, it is. I think my two favorite superhero movies now are the two Marvel Studios movies that came out last year.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like there was the X-Men movie from this year. It was pretty good too.
It was pretty good.
It
was nowhere near as good as either of these, though.
I think I had it rated pretty close to Captain America 2.
Oh wow, yeah, I'd drop it. I out of the three, if you said which one shouldn't I see, I would easily said X-Men.
Yeah,
it was definitely much better than Amazing Spider-Man 2. Nice.
Sorry, a little late on this music cue.
No, no Pina Colada song.
I just searched for this one first.
That's cool.
I like the conceit of the soundtrack. I actually don't like the Ooga Chukka part of the song. It just annoys me. But the song as a whole is pretty good.
This song is a national treasure.
And I just, which nation?
United
States. Are these guys American?
I believe they're American.
Right. They're called Blue Swede. I think I always used to think they were called
Blue
Suede.
Oh, I thought they were Blue Suede.
I think I always used to think
that.
Oh,
interesting.
It's definitely Blue Swede.
Interesting.
I don't know if that means they're Swedish or not.
Yeah.
I think I also thought it was Tom Jones. I think he's sung the song before. But he's not the originator. But yeah, just the fact that he had the Walkman. I don't know if that was part of the comic books, but because comics are for nerds. But I mean, it was pretty cool, and they have the Jackson 5, the best song. So
yeah, the Pina Colada song. It's a great soundtrack, and I like that for Record Store Day for the soundtrack, they released a cassette of it. That was a Record Store Day exclusive on Black Friday.
So all three people that still have cassette players.
Yeah, I tried getting one. I could not find a store that had one in stock.
I really liked having one in my old car because I had the cassette adapter to plug into my phone. But now I just have the aux adapter, so it's...
I have a breaking news update.
Uh-oh.
Blue Swede, believe it or not, was actually a Swedish band.
Oh, wow.
It fronted by Björn Skifs.
Who actually had a rare skin condition. He was blue, head to toe.
They were active between the years of 1973 and 1975. And that's your interesting facts about Blue Swede.
Correction, that's your facts about Blue Swede.
Hooked on a Feeling, I think, is their biggest hit. Their only hit?
Yeah, I think so. All right, is that all the movies we saw? Oh, boy.
That is all the
movies. All five movies I saw this year.
Yeah. I see five movies, then I rank them, and then that's it.
Any other quick honorable mentions that didn't make your list?
I don't have any honorable mentions for the top five. Not for movies. I do have an honorable mention for TV, though.
Not the Chris Rock movie top five? I really wish I had thought of seeing that so I could put it on my list.
That would have been good.
Yeah. Birdman was one that, it wasn't my number six or anything, but it was so good.
I didn't get a chance to see that. I have a feeling it might have made my top five. Top five is hard to crack.
If you want a really cool, weird, a little gory movie, Cheap Thrills with David Koechner and Ethan Embry was a cool little probably independent movie.
Oh, you know what?
That
actually
was a lot of fun.
I will give a quick shout out. Nope. You know what? I can't even think of the title.
Let's play Name That Movie. What happened? Who was in it?
It's a documentary.
Okay. Snowpiercer.
Oh, hold on. Let me pull up my Leonard Maltin app. The
Leonard Maltin app doesn't have new movies anymore.
Damn it. Unless it
was Monuments Men. That was about the last new movie Leonard Maltin has.
Oh, really?
The documentary. What was it about?
It was about screenwriters. It might have been called The Screenwriters.
Okay. You're thinking of the Nerdist Writers podcast.
No. It might have been called The Screenwriters. I have to double check. I don't think I believe it was, though. I did review it on my website. I feel like
go to TuesdayNightMovies.com, find the documentary that was reviewed, and not Blackfish, but the one about people writing movies.
No, it was actually, so it was this great documentary about screenwriters. Joss Whedon is interviewed in it. They actually get a bunch of different television television showrunners and screenwriters of movies. And
it's the Nerdist Writers Panel. That's a podcast.
I'm an idiot. Okay, it's not about screenwriters. It's about showrunners. And it's called Showrunner. And that's why they interviewed Joss Whedon. I was like, and they interviewed the showrunner of The Good Wife. And they interviewed the showrunner of this show. And I was like, right. It's not called screenwriters. It's called Showrunner. And it was the most enjoyable documentary I saw this year. And you probably have never heard of it. I don't know if it got a theatrical or on-demand release yet. It is based on a book. There is a book called The Showrunners also, which this movie sprang from. But yeah, it's great. If you're interested in the business of television and if you're interested in seeing where business and art meet in television, it's definitely worth watching.
Oh, you're thinking The Writer's Room. That was that show on Sundance that the dean from Community hosted. I think that's what you're thinking of.
We're talking about showrunners.
Talking about practice.
The art of running a TV show.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, the art of running.
a TV show. And
that
I do.
Sounds cool. That sounded cool.
Yeah, and I have a lengthier review of it up on TuesdayNetMovies.com.
Well, I kind of wish it had been called The Screenwriters, because that would be a great segue to our next category, which is about writing things, which is movies for your eyeballs.
Movies
which
for
is
your
books.
Movies for your balls.
Movies for your eyeballs. It's like movies that don't move. They're like stillies.
Yeah.
Which is the original name of books.
Not pages? I always call them pages.
Pages. No, pages are the
that's those
like,
bowl cut
like
haircuts.
The staffers that work in Congress and stuff.
Oh, I actually was a page in my local library. That does make sense to call books pages.
No. Pages are people that work at old folks' homes and turn the pages because old folks don't have enough saliva left to lick their finger and turn the page.
That sounds disgusting.
I think that's a Simpsons bit. So what was your number? So books, it's hard to keep up with books because books take a lot longer than movies to
watch.
I
don't know if I like. I definitely read five books that came out this year, but I don't like. That might have just been my top five list. It was just books.
Yeah, I didn't have too many more than five. Or if I did, there'd be a couple that I wouldn't really want to. So with our book category, it's the one that we do things that books we read this year, or had read to us, possibly. I don't know about you. Not necessarily books that came out.
The only way I can fall asleep at night.
So, your fifth best book.
My fifth best book is Storm of Swords, the third game of the third Song of Ice and Fire book.
Now, is this, because I know you were reading the graphic novels of these, or was this the...
No, this was the novel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read the graphic novels first?
I haven't read the graphic novels.
Oh, no. You just have them and you're waiting until you're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're in my stack.
So how many Game of Thrones books did you read in 2014?
I read the first three.
And are those
I read the first four.
Are they all on your list?
No.
Okay.
But book three was my favorite. Season two of the TV show is my favorite season of Game of Thrones.
What just finished? Season four?
Season five? No, season four. Okay. Yeah, season four.
Okay.
But book three is my favorite. And and that's right. I think I only read up to the end of book three because I believe the first book and the first TV season pretty much mirror themselves perfectly. Like, it's almost like a perfect adaptation of that book. They start deviating away from the book in season two, but they, in my opinion, improve upon the book. And book three kind of covers both season three and season four of the show. And it deviates more, but I think it's definitely the strongest of the three books that I've read so far.
Okay.
I think I'm doing that right. If we're in season four, then yeah, the end of book three. And I was going to start book four, but I just want to wait for the TV show. I like this show. This might be considered blasphemous to Game of Thrones or Song of Ice and Fire fans.
So is not knowing which book is which. So
yeah.
You already lost them.
because on my Game of Thrones recaps, I get some angry comments from people who are like, did you even read the books? And I'm like, no, it says in bold type. I didn't read the books.
Yeah. But you write as though you've never even read the books.
Yeah. Brian, stop leaving comments.
Sorry. I like to make up names.
And German accents.
Yes. Yeah.
So book three is a lot of fun. It actually ends in a scene that didn't happen at the end of season four of Game of Thrones. Which is, like, really huge.
Is that the one that all the nerds were like, spoiler, 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 don't read this.
Yes.
But here's what didn't happen.
Yes.
If you like this TV show, don't read this thing that's not going to happen.
I'm really good at not clicking on those links, so I don't know. But then I was like, oh, this is what happened. And it was kind of like Game of Thrones met Walking Dead. Maybe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's right. Andrew Lincoln is on Game of Thrones now.
Yeah, I don't read books or comic books that I can just watch the TV of. So maybe someday.
Yeah, you watched Snowpiercer. Oh, no, you read Snowpiercer.
That's true. I read Snowpiercer. That's a movie. That's not a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Mm. And I read Harry Potter. That's a movie. There's probably plenty of exceptions to that rule. But no, I kind of want to read the Game of Thrones books, but... Maybe someday.
I was going through some serious Game of Thrones withdrawal, and I was like, I need some Game of Thrones in my life. So I started reading the first book, and I swear to God, it took me like over a month to read it. I was reading that book for 2 hours, and I was still in the first 5 minutes of the first episode of the TV show.
You know that scene
with like the White Walker, like killing like those three black brothers, you know, crows. Like the very first scene episode.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. 2 hours into reading that book, still on that scene.
Wow.
Yeah.
This morning on the way to work, I was listening to a couple week old Judge John Hodgman podcast where the dispute was this girl promised her friend that she would read the Wheel of Time series of books by Robert Jordan by his birthday. Last year or something.
Her friend's birthday or Robert Jordan's
birthday? Friend's birthday.
Yeah, okay.
And she didn't finish them. And the guy wanted Judge John Hodgman to compel her to finish the series.
Oh, okay.
And, she wanted to read them. It's just they took a while because there are 14 of them.
Well, she should not have gotten into that deal.
Who compels you to read 14? Actually, she sort of, compelled herself.
The power of Christ compels you.
But... I don't know. The power of something would have to compel me. 14 books.
That is a lot of books.
I mean, unless they're the Xanth books by Pierce Anthony. Am I right? Greg? Where's Greg? We're going to pause. Put Greg on this podcast. I'm pretty sure he knows what I'm talking about.
Dial him in.
Xanth.
I've heard of Piers Anthony. I've shelved his books when I was a pagey in the library.
There was, I think it was This American Life, was about a kid who ran away from home to meet Piers Anthony.
Oh, yeah. Was that Piers Anthony? I remember.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was a good story.
And then at some point, whether it was related to that, I read something about the books. I didn't go back to read them. And I think I only read one or two. But it turns out they're... I may have the criticisms wrong. There were a lot of criticisms that we didn't notice at the time. Like, they were super misogynistic and, like, a lot of weird stuff happening. And I was just a kid reading fantasy books.
Yeah. It just informed you of your view on women for the rest of your life.
So, my number five was not a TV show that I didn't read. It was a person on a TV show. It was Amy Poehler's new book, Yes, Please. Which I barely made it.
Was this a fiction book?
No, it's her memoir.
So it's similar to like the Ron Swanson book that came out last year? Or 2 years ago?
I mean, I suppose.
Okay.
It's not really similar, but the same style, sure. Gotcha. I feel like it's more like Tina Fey's book, which I didn't read.
Bossy Pants?
Yeah. I didn't tell you had to read it. Just don't call me that.
Whatever, Bossy Pants.
God damn it.
What kind of pants would you like me to call you, Brian?
Well, right now, sweatpants.
Okay, sweaty pants. Wow, sweaty pants sounds a lot worse than sweatpants.
Yes, please, is the title of Amy Poehler's book that we're trying to talk about. It was really funny. It did remind me how much I really could not get into the Upright Citizens Brigade TV show. And as much as I like those people on other things,
right.
I do not. And as much as I like their theater for other things, I do not.
It was ahead of its time.
Can't get into that, I guess. But yeah, the book is great. If you like Amy Poehler at all, then she's very lovable.
Sweaty pants, sweaty pants.
You're number four.
Why is Brian so sweaty?
I'm not wearing sweaty jeans pants. That are sweaty.
Sweaty.
I'm wearing literal sweatpants. I changed out of my wool trousers that were really sweaty from the whole day. Now I'm just wearing things that are called sweatpants.
Don't believe him, listeners. They're sweaty pants.
Whatever. You're wearing tracks pants. They got tracks on them. Like skid marks, I guess.
Oh, I thought you meant like subway tracks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. My number four. This was a tough one for me, too. My number four is actually, it's a comic book, because, you know, got to throw one in there. Saga of the Swamp Thing, Volume 1 by Alan Moore. So Swamp Thing was a character created in the 1970s by Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson. Like, basically, scientist Alec Holland gets ambushed and blown up by these bad guys. And then he gets kind of resurrected in the swamp because... these chemicals that he was working on mix with his body and the plant life in the swamp, and he comes back as Swamp Thing. Except, it didn't sell very well, but in the early 1980s, Alan Moore took over as the writer, and he completely turned the character on its head and turned it into like a comic book not aimed at kids but at adults, which was very much ahead of its time for the early 1980s. It's a book very popular on college campuses, and it's one of those comics that I've been meaning to read for the longest time. And I knew I would respect it. I wasn't sure if I'd enjoy it, but man, that first volume just had me hooked, and I've made it through now volume 5, and I'm just waiting for the Brooklyn Public Library to find their volume 6 so that I could finish the series off.
When did this come out?
The original comics came out in the 1980s, like 1984, 1985. DC recently collected them into a series of hardcovers, though, and there's 6 of them altogether. Frequent Billy and Brian Show guest Greg Kreinler's cousin, actually.
I know him.
His cousin, Scott Snyder, wrote Swamp Thing for DC when DC relaunched its universe in the New 52 a couple of years ago.
Swamp Thing is same as the Toxic Adventure, right?
It's very similar. Very similar.
Same guy.
Similar. They were both stars of... low-budget 1980s movies that I probably enjoyed more than I should have.
And Swamp Thing, he lived in a black lagoon? Is that true?
No, he lived in the Louisiana swamps, hence Swamp Thing and not Lagoon Thing.
All right. I think I know
you. Yeah, not like if he lived in the black lagoon, you'd call him Black Thing.
could have, like, was he a creature?
No, he was more of a thing.
Okay, he was a thing.
Yeah. Don't confuse him with Man-Thing at Marvel Comics. Swamp Thing and Man-Thing.
I wouldn't confuse Man-Thing with anything.
So
yeah.
here,
Man-Thing, he's the guy made out of rocks.
No, that's the thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Man-Thing lives in a swamp.
The thing is the orange guy made out of rocks who was just a hand that like crawled all over the Addams Family's table.
Those are two different things. Man-Thing, though, did live in a swamp. But he lived in Florida, not Louisiana.
Oh, you mean Lump.
The presidents of the United States of America
song? Yeah, didn't Lump live in a swamp or something? All right. Lump alone in a boggy marsh. Yeah.
I thought it was
anywhere?
A parking lot.
I don't know.
I think you're right with boggy marsh.
I may be thinking of...
I know Lump sat alone in a parking lot.
There was
lot
this guy
point.
Lived in a swamp. His friend drove his friend like drove his spaceship into the swamp. He lifted it with his mind.
That was Man-Thing, and the friend was Howard the Duck.
Yoda, that's who I'm thinking.
Oh, Yoda. Okay,
was the swamp.
That was the swamp of Dagobah.
Green guy lived in a swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swamp Thing a little taller. But yeah, Swamp Thing Volume 1, highly recommended. If you are a fan of, say, like Neil Gaiman novels, I would definitely recommend Swamp Thing by Alan Moore, because it has that same tone of, the real world, but then just something that's slightly off kilter. Two thumbs up.
Sorry, I got no more Swamp Thing jokes.
Wait, you were making jokes? I thought we were having like a serious conversation.
Oh, yeah. Comics are cool.
That's right. Comics are cool. You heard it from Brian.
Yeah, nerd. My number four is a series of children's books. I first heard about these when world-famous author Sarvnaz Tosh, I feel like she's been on our... She's been on a podcast several times.
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah, she's great. I feel like she has my probably number one book of 2015 coming out in a
3-day summer.
Yeah.
Coming out in April.
May.
Neither of those are in the summer.
True. But the book is...
That's true. It's about Woodstock.
Yeah. Not the Charlie Brown bird. The city in New York. Just like what happens in a typical day in Woodstock.
The town in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's a town. Village.
I guess, someone who comes from Rapid City might call
Hamlet,
it a city.
The Hamlet of Woodstock. But she did some press for her first book, The Mapmaker and the Ghost, at Books of Wonder.
I just walked by there the other day.
Alongside the lady who wrote these books, who I don't remember her name.
Wonder?
And nope.
Oh,
and
she was
these
there.
Books, for a long time, I was really interested in them based on the panel.
Okay.
And then I forgot what they were called, and then kept seeing some other similar looking books, and then finally did enough research to find The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place. And it's basically this woman is hired as a governess in this rich people's home in like Victorian London probably, and or in the countryside outside of Victorian London. And they had found these three children in their woods who had been raised by wolves, and now they were raised by this governess.
When you read books that are set in England, do you read them with a Cockney accent? Answer honestly.
I don't know. If the dialogue is written in dialect, yes.
Okay.
Otherwise...
What about the narrator?
Maybe occasionally.
What kind of accent you give the narrator?
Like a swamp thingy. Accent.
What if the narrator uses use in weird places, like in favorite and color?
Oh, I thought like meant. So, use will be interested to know about these children.
Oh, use will be interested to know about these children.
Lord Ashton, see, he said, "Hey, use children's over there. Use children's. You get over here.
It is.
Let me get in a DeLorean.
Getting a DeLorean?
Getting DeLorean. Getting DeLorean. Get the torch. Put the torch in DeLorean.
In
the Buddha DeLorean.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a time machine car in this book.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Obviously.
Okay. I have to listen to this segment.
I don't think they're that close to the Lemony Snicket books, but
I was about to say, it sounds just like the Lemony Snicker books.
Except
I've never read the Lemony Snicker books.
I feel like it hits that sweet spot for me, but they're definitely written in an optimistic tone as opposed to the doom and dreary Lemony Snicket tone.
Gotcha. We might have to extend this into three episodes.
Yeah, or talk faster. And so, with the Incorrigible Children, they were really good.
Okay. My number three book is The Ocean at the End of the Lane by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, that was on my list last year, I
think. If you're a fan of, say, like Swamp Thing, you'll love this book.
Oh, that's very circular logic for your Amazon recommendations. If you like this, and then come back and read this again.
Yes.
Yeah, that book was great.
Yeah, I loved it. It's fantastic.
It was...
a very fast read.
Yeah.
That's another one. Thank you again, Brooklyn Public Library.
I think I probably read it out of the library, too. We might have read the exact same copy.
Oh, you should write me notes next time.
Oh, you know what? No, I was about to edit my list, but no, I think I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, do that.
So my number three was, speaking of Lemony Snicket, it was Shouldn't You Be in School, out of his second series about his noir for children books, which the other ones have been not quite amazing to me. This one was... I don't know if it was the best one in the series, but it was a high point, and it was a really good book. I feel like the series is really coming into stride. At the beginning, I felt like the noir thing was somewhat... He kind of drops it in places. I feel like he's doing a good job with it now.
Nice.
So he's doing a good job writing that professional writer.
I've never read any of the Lemony Snicket books, but I know you're a big fan of them.
They're great.
But I remember you being disappointed by like the most recent Lemony Snicket book.
I was a little disappointed in the last one from this series.
Right.
Just a little. It was still good.
Okay.
But the original series, the unfortunate series of unfortunate events, is everyone should read it. They're so clever and good.
Yeah, I think when they started making press around the time that Harry Potter got really big, and I just kind of wrote them off as like a Harry Potter ripoff, but...
Totally different.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying,
I mean, I can see.
I'm
that.
Not saying I was right. I'm just saying.
No. I can see that.
I didn't read them.
But.
Yeah. No. I'm sure that I'm worse off for not having read them.
Oh, you are. You're kind of a horrible human being. But that's fine.
I would go that far. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. So my number.
I mean, it's not like you haven't read Game of Thrones or anything.
My number two is The Art of Neil Gaiman by Haley Campbell. It is not an art book. It's about the size of it. It's about the size of an art book. So it's funny because a couple of Amazon reviewers were like, I thought this was going to be drawings by Neil Gaiman.
So it's about the art of writing.
Yes.
Okay.
So Neil Gaiman gave Haley Campbell, who's the daughter of a...
The Sixth Sense,
Of Eddie Campbell, a comic book artist and writer, pretty much unprecedented access to all of his files, which he had like stored in his attic or his basement. And she presents a lot of them. He's got like a lot of just like script ideas that were written on hotel napkins and original scripts. And she basically just walks through his entire career, starting with him being a magazine journalist through his his first forays into short stories, and then novels, and then comic books. And it's a fascinating read because he's along for the ride too. So. He's giving her tidbits of information. It's got a lot of stuff you wouldn't see anywhere else, and it's very well researched. I definitely recommend it. Though don't reserve it from the Brooklyn Public Library just yet, because I'm not quite finished with it.
Yeah, I just had a book that I thought it was on hold after I had it, and I thought that it let me renew it anyway. I thought, this is awesome. And then the next time I opened up the app, it said overdue.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh. So I finally finished it, and I only owe $1.35.
I recently returned a book that I kept renewing for over a year. I was the only one who wanted the book.
And it must have been a great book.
It actually was a great book. And I was like, and then, I think they had like 7 copies of it. So. Eventually, they demand caught back up with it.
Yeah, I've been trying. Actually, there are a couple of movies that we didn't talk about. Not to go back to it, but Boyhood is the one getting all the Oscar buzz. So I'm like 100th on the list for that from the library. And Netflix is like passed me over because it says there's a short wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've missed out on it twice from Netflix. So maybe I'll someday see them.
Can Redbox it?
Yeah. $1. I don't 50. Have a nearby Redbox.
Oh, really? I think no. The Dwayne Reed over on Flatbush doesn't have a Redbox?
The one, your Redbox is my closest Redbox.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I forgot to return Guardians of the Galaxy tonight. So guess what I'm watching tonight? Guardians of the Galaxy again. Yee, it's my favorite movie of 2014.
Speaking of books.
Oh, right.
My number two book was by John Moe, the host of the Wits podcast and the Home Dunk podcast.
And the author of Moe Bitter Blues?
And no.
No.
The author of Dear Luke, We Need to Talk, Darth.
Ah, nice.
Which is a series of, you could describe it as a bathroom book. A nice thing to read a page or two while you're, you know, standing up, peeing. That's what people do with all the books they have in their bathroom.
Listen, right? Sweaty Pants, you're giving us way too many details.
Isn't that why people have books in their bathroom? No, but I did not read it. I read it in the car, mostly. Not while I was driving.
What?
Yeah, while I was driving, not while I was peeing, of course. I read it on the way to the Outer Banks.
Brian, next time we have to carpool, I think I might take my own car.
And, but yeah, it's a bunch of pop culture correspondences. Basically things like... a list of Jay-Z's 99 problems.
Bitch or, is not one of them.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't on the list anywhere.
That's good.
Like, Where to Park His Helicopter, I think, was one, but not a bitch.
Hmm.
Things like a look at Gilligan's Island, as though Gilligan was doing some sort of experiment for the Marines or something, and then kind of just got hit on too many coconuts and forgot, and just ended up being a guy who was stuck on an island. but yeah, it's a very funny book. I feel like the stuff on the podcast works a little bit better. He intersperses songs with, things about them, like talking about Atlantic City by Bruce Springsteen, where they talk about
the Chicken Man.
Yeah, the Chicken Man, and so he basically turns the song into, the attack of the Chicken Man, and they blew up. They blew up the Chicken Man, but there's so many more Chicken Mans, and you got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
So. Very funny book. Go check it out.
All right. I definitely will. My number one book is Ready Player One by Ernest Cline.
That's the one that I was like, should it be on? I mean, it was really good, but I couldn't fit it on my list.
I think it's our age difference is what separates our enjoyment of this book.
I think all of the 80s references I got just fine.
But it wasn't just getting the 80s references. Like, I was like a child at the prime time for those 80s references.
I mean, like, I played Joust as a kid.
At your local pizza place, though?
No, my Atari.
Yeah, that's different.
No, I mean, I don't know. I liked it an awful lot. I think you just liked it more. I think you're just nerdier than I am.
It's true. I am nerdier than you are. But nerdy's the new cool.
There you go. I guess so. No, I loved it, but I like these other books better.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. You shouldn't. But yeah, Ready Player One is fantastic. If you haven't read Ready Player One, it takes place in the near future. It's dystopia. And this Steve Jobs, Bill Gates guy basically creates the Matrix, and everyone's dialed into it.
Sort of like a cross between the Matrix and World of Warcraft.
I was thinking like, Sims, it was like, yeah, like the Matrix and Second Life.
Yeah, I guess.
Like if Second Life was done right, that's what this thing would be.
Like if you were your Sim and were just like living in the Sims and not like you controlled all the other Sims.
Right.
Kind of like that.
So like Sims 3.
I don't know.
Nerd, I'm talking to myself here. But
it's basically just a world you jack into. And,
yeah, so that dude who created it dies, and he leaves his fortune to whoever can solve his quest. And it's a great page-turner book. You won't be able to put it down, I guarantee it. And if you're a child of the 80s, you will go gaga over all of the references.
Yeah, the Steve Jobs, Bill Gates guy basically loved the 80s. And so his quest that he sends every person on Earth on, and whoever wins his fortune. It's all the clues have to do with 80s pop culture.
Yeah, and I heard they're making a movie out of the book.
Yeah, I saw the headline of a post on Boing Boing that was talking about their podcast mentioned something about a sequel, but they didn't say anything in the article, and I didn't feel like listening to their podcast. So, I mean, I don't know who would ever not listen to a podcast, right?
You love your podcast.
Yeah. But so maybe there's a sequel coming up. But also, when I was searching about that, maybe there's a movie coming out. So as I was reading, it definitely seemed like they should have a movie. It would, I think it would translate great.
Yeah, I feel like the only problem would be getting all the rights to all the various like things in it.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I could see it being a really cool movie, especially if they film it the way that that YouTube show Video Game High School is filmed.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that.
It's funny.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's very funny.
My number one book was a comic book.
What?
Yeah, I know, nerds.
What?
But,
who are you?
Me? It was Seconds by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Oh, I haven't read that yet.
It's so good. The guy who wrote Scott Pilgrim.
Yes. You can actually buy his original art for that book on his website right now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was very excited it was coming out. I mean, I like Scott Pilgrim a lot, but I wouldn't say, oh, it made me want to read more comics. Not that Seconds would either, but I liked Seconds so much more than Scott Pilgrim.
Hmm.
Just because it was so good. And, you know, I'm not going to go read a whole bunch of comics. I'm not some nerd, but Seconds is really good.
Comics are great, Brian.
It's not a comic. It's a graphic novel, I guess.
This is weird. Brian is insulting comics. And then
I like it.
And then insulting the voice in his head, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just watching Sweaty Pants spiral down right now. Sweaty Pants.
I actually, speaking of comics, I also read Why the Last Man this year, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, Why the Last Man is great. Did you read all of it?
I did.
Oh, and that didn't make your top five?
I was in Charleston for a long time. I started to make my top five of things that came out this year, and most of them, actually all but The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place did. And so maybe that's why I left it off, but no,
I think
I liked it, but I don't know. I wouldn't say it was the most amazing thing. I just, as I was reading it, I was like, I really like this, but it also kind of shows me, I can't love comic books that much. There's just something I just don't love it.
You're like talking Spanish right now or something. Understand you.
I just,
amigo,
you know, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't know what order to read the panels in, but
left to right,
sometimes do a weird thing.
You're a smart guy.
Sometimes they do a weird thing.
It's called art.
No, it's weird. But I'm going to have to start reading next month because the Thrilling Adventure Hour is putting out their comic books next month.
Oh, a monthly comic or another graphic novel?
Monthly.
Also,
they're doing one for...
It's through Image Comics, right? Not Archaea.
They're doing a Sparks Nevada and a Beyond Belief.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm going to have to read comics.
Sweet.
What a nerd. God, you're such a nerd.
Comics are the best, Brian.
All right. So, and then, books for your eyes that show up on your television.
Yeah, short movies.
Favorite TV shows of the year.
Favorite TV shows, my second favorite category.
This was so hard
maybe
for
my
me
favorite
because
category.
Partly because a couple things came out really early in the year and then stopped, and a couple things, you know, had weird hiatuses, and it's really hard to compare. Was it that good this year, or do I just love the show altogether? But number five was the unstoppable for that 1 week phenomenon, Too Many Cooks.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gallivant.
I didn't watch Gallivant. It seemed like it could be okay, but I didn't watch it. No, Too Many Cooks. Oh, if you haven't seen Too Many Cooks, you don't know what you're missing, and I really mean that. Like, it is just... And have you seen it?
I haven't yet.
It's a Adult Swim infomercial kind of thing, and it's... To describe it would do it no justice. Just Google Too Many Cooks YouTube, watch it, be amazed, and watch it again. It's so good.
Yeah.
If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, there's nothing I can say.
This was a tough category for me, too. I basically came down to like seven shows and was like, oh, man, it's going to be tough trying to figure out what that number five is.
I actually had like two shows that I knew needed to be there and a bunch that, you know, I was like, was it this year? Was that good? Or just I like the show.
Right.
But you're number five?
Number five, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like I said before, after Captain America Winter Soldier came out, the show got really good. Season two is even better. I have a theory that the second season of pretty much any TV show is going to be the best season. It's when the writers really get their handle on the character and the actors too.
And the first couple episodes, they have to build the world, and especially a show like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of it's just exposition. It's like the first 5 minutes of a movie. Unless you come right out and do some big production, you're just kind of setting things up.
Yeah, if you look at some of the best TV shows, the second season is the strongest one. Sopranos, second season, easily the best season. I think Sopranos should have ended after the second season. That's how good that season was, and how much of a downhill slope the rest of that series became. But yeah, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is absolutely fantastic. If you haven't watched it, just start watching it with the first episode of this season, because it's great.
I think it's pretty good. I can see why you like it a lot more than me. You know more about the world. You know the little things that, you know, you'll talk about, and I'll be like, oh, that's cool. Mm. But watching it, I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, plus Tyra and from Friday Night Lights is on it.
Tyra has made a lot better. And I don't know. They've done a lot more with her.
Yeah.
That has made her not just whiny.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, she's going to be a huge character.
It's not one of my favorite shows, but I still watch it.
But, shameless plug, I do recap every episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at TuesdayNightMovies.com.
What do you think of Agent Carter so far, which is a 2015 show?
And it's an 8-episode miniseries, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't know until after it started airing that it was only a miniseries.
Yeah, me too.
I watched...
I'm enjoying it.
I think I'm a week behind because of Hulu's schedule.
I really like the Agent Carter bits in Season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I've liked Agent Carter so far. I think it's a good mix of Alias meets The Rocketeer.
I only watched a couple of episodes of Alias, and I really like The Rocketeer. And Agent Carter is no Jennifer Connelly, but she's not bad to look at either.
You sound as chauvinistic as the men on Agent Carter.
I'm trying. Like the asshole from Gilmore Girls and the awesome guy who's not an asshole from Dollhouse.
Oh, yeah.
The guy with the crutch.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to actually...
I just assumed everybody was from Band of Brothers. When they have that much grease in their hair, I'm like, Band of Brothers, Band of Brothers.
Yeah. So, I like Agent Carter, but I don't know. We'll
Did you say Asian Carter?
That'd be a good spinoff. Agent Carter, pretty good.
Nice.
My number four. This is the point where I had so many, too many cooks was kind of a wild card that I just wanted to include because it was fun. And then I just had so many shows. I ended up with Bob's Burgers because it's just consistently does great, weird, funny stuff. And there's so many amazing people on it. Not much I can say. It's so good.
I never got into Bob's Burgers.
It's great.
Yeah, people love it, just not me. I said my number four is, and my number five is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. My number four is True Detective.
Yeah, True Detective's so good.
True Detective.
That'll show up on my list.
True Detective would be higher on my list. This is similar to the top four in my movies, my top four TV shows. I just loved all of them.
Yeah, True Detective was just, it was really fun having friends who watched it and, you know, everybody would watch it on time and we could talk about it. So,
yeah, I watched
it. I mean,
it
that was part
later.
Of the, that's true. You did watch it late. So maybe that's why I have it ranked higher. But it was fun. And it was fun that it was, you know, had mysteries. It felt like Lost again. That's really what it was.
Right.
It felt like people talking about what does that mean. And in the end, I felt like a lot of stuff didn't necessarily mean anything, but it was just fun stuff to have around.
Well, I watched the series. After I'd watched the first episode when it first aired, but then watched the entire series pretty much over the course of a week, and loved it so much that when I finished the last episode, went back and watched the first episode again and just started watching it.
Yeah, I definitely went back at some points to rewatch things to try to see how things fit together and see if the people talking about it on the internet made sense.
And so season two is going to be a completely different cast. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a mini series.
Right.
And, you know, it would be great to see them do it again, but we'll see what they do with season two. This is a series scenario where I think maybe season two won't be the best season.
Mm.
Just because it'll be all new.
Right.
And they got to start over.
Yeah, that's an exception to the rule there.
My number three was Orphan Black,
which actually
I didn't have on my list for a while. And then I added in because I went back to look at what episodes were from this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot if it actually was this year. And or if it was 2013,
yeah,
because who knows when they actually show things. But there are so many good episodes, and if you don't watch Orphan Black, it's, I mean, you have to, you know, be okay with a little bit of sci-fi, but not that much. And it's, everything about it is great.
That's cool. And speaking of Orphan Black, and you'd mentioned Sarvanas Tosh before, she was recapping Orphan Black for Tuesday Night Movies earlier.
Yeah,
she did about half the season, a little over that, and it just her writing, you know,
she had to go write books.
Yeah, her writing commitments.
And have a job writing books.
Yeah. But she wrote some great recaps for the site, and
yeah,
if people are fans of Orphan Black, definitely check that out. TuesdayNightMovies.com. What are we up to? My number three?
That was my number three.
Okay, so then my number three is The Goldbergs. This season of The Goldbergs is hilarious. Goldbergs is like my Malcolm in the Middle in that anytime I would turn it on, I would laugh hysterically and like love the episode, and then I wouldn't watch it regularly. So this season I actually started watching it, and thanks to like, you know, the magic of Hulu, going back and watching other stuff, or I mean older episodes. The show is just so funny.
Yeah, I would say it's my Malcolm in the Middle too, in that it's a show that I didn't watch. People said it was great. I turned it on and I just don't get it.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say it was bad. I just, like another show, like The Middle. Did you watch that?
I love The Middle.
Yeah.
The Middle is fantastic.
Like, I watched like the first episode maybe and was like, this isn't very good. And then people said it got really good. And I watched it and I was like, I don't know.
Wednesday night ABC. I love all those shows.
Do you still watch Modern Family?
Yeah. It's great.
Like a year or two ago, I just decided I don't need this.
Oh, this season is fantastic. Anywhere.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I think,
if you like it, great. But I just don't get it.
I don't know what the fourth show is on Wednesday nights on ABC, but those three are. I love all three
is
of them.
Blackish on.
That's probably that. Yeah,
I have never watched that, but that people say is great.
It started out pretty poor, but their most recent episode, the Martin Luther King Day episode, is up there for one of the funniest episodes of this TV season of like any show.
Haven't.
Yeah. It's up there with the New Kids episode of The Goldbergs and the LAX episode of New Girl.
That was great. My number two was True Detective.
Ah.
Which we talked about.
Yeah.
Very close to number one.
Yeah. I thought it would actually be your number one.
It easily could be.
I'm amazed.
I think it loses points just because it was so brief and it's not, you know, it was a time and it was over.
Right. I'm wondering which of the two shows that I still have left is not going to make your list.
Wait, give me a second. I think you want this one. And all right, I think I know what you're going to say. All right, what's your number two?
My number two is New Girl. Don't tell me if that's your number one or not yet, but is it?
Yeah, it's my number one.
Okay. Then I'm amazed.
Don't tell me. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, New Girl. So New Girl is my number one because
I know you love New Girl.
It is just so funny. It makes me laugh. There are just things like when they start just yelling at each other, random things. They had like a couple episodes a couple weeks apart,
yeah,
whether it was this season or last season, and it was just so many quotable things that Nick and Jess yelled back and forth.
I think Schmidt has actually become my favorite character on the show. Schmidt and Wilson are
Winston.
Winston, yes. Did I say Wilson?
Yeah.
It's the volleyball in the show, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Winston, the football? It's the underinflated football in the show.
Oh, that was this year. The beginning of this year. The puzzle episode. I love puzzles. And when Winston just decided he wanted to do puzzles, I was like, I love puzzles. Let's do puzzles. And then he just sucks a puzzle.
He's great.
If you think that's brown, what color do you think you are? Oh, God, it was so good.
Yeah, New Girl's fantastic.
So New Girl gets number one for me over True Detective because it just...
It gets number two for me.
First of all, I love the characters and I love the through lines and their relationships.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny. And it's just a thing that's a constant. Like, throughout the year, they do a lot of episodes. And True Detective was a time and a place, and now it's over.
Right. Yeah, New Girl, I remember having a conversation. I was at a family vacation this summer, and we were discussing our favorite TV shows. And I was like, oh, New Girl is my favorite show. I was like, oh, no, it's actually my second favorite show. You'll find out what my first favorite is. But I got ridiculed. I got ridiculed by my family for that.
For New Girl.
Yeah.
I could see the perspective of it, especially at the beginning. Like, I didn't mind, but a lot of people harped on, oh, adorkable, that's stupid, and... like, the whole thing is about how Zooey Deschanel is whatever. And I like that part. But then
she
became, you know, more of a normal person, and they tamped down the adorkable.
Mm.
But I could see the perception of it might be bad. But let me guess. Your number one...
should be easy.
Of the ones... I'm probably forgetting something obvious that I don't watch. But of the things that I considered, I would guess maybe Sherlock... My other thought might be Selfie, but I don't think you'd like it number one. Although Selfie came on and was really good. Or Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You
know, I'm going to guess Sherlock.
You did not name it at all. But before I go into my number one, can we just have a moment of silence for Selfie?
Oh, I can't believe it.
Like, America... Well, hold on. Moment of silence. Okay. America, you let me down. Selfie was hilarious.
America, you did exactly what I expected of you.
I don't know. All the selfies I see on my Instagram feed, I figured this show would have taken off. I think it just hit too close to home for too many people who watched it.
On the surface, I thought it was going to be stupid. I only watched it because Amy Pond is in it.
Right.
And then it turned out to
and
be
Harold
really good.
And Harold from Harold and Kumar.
I don't care about him. Oh. But then I watched the show, and I was like, Harold, he's really good.
Yeah. The two of them were perfect foils for each other. And I was like, oh, wow, the first episode of this was really funny. And I start telling people, I'm like, you got to watch this show. And everyone's reaction was like, Selfie? That looks stupid. And I was like, yeah, I get it.
But watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first episode, the first episode I was like, and then the second episode I was like, I'll try one more. Then the third episode, soon thereafter, I was hooked.
Yeah, the first episode actually had me hooked. I was like, I actually want to see the second episode of this, which I was surprised about. And not just just for like Amy Pond's legs.
Yeah, because she had a lot of legs on that. Wow. But, I think the first episode I was like, okay, this isn't terrible, but whatever. But I'll give it another shot.
It was up there with... It was very similar to Better Off Ted, another show I like that...
I love Better Off Ted.
It cut down too early.
That's one of my go-to, like, just throw it on Netflix to have in the background.
Yeah.
Or to... And yeah. I love
Selfie
Better
and
Ted.
Better Off Ted should be in a box set together.
Better Off Ted.
Both great office comedies.
Rest in peace, Better Off.
Yeah, Selfie is fantastic. People catch Selfie on Hulu while you still can. And then start writing letters to ABC or something.
So what was your number one?
I can't believe that you did not
let me see if I
name
have,
it as
any
a
other.
As a contender.
Dun 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 dun. Oh yeah, dun, Game dun, of Thrones. Dun, dun.
Yes, Game of Thrones, Brian. We went to the premiere of the first episode of the season together.
No. Well, I had a list of
this season was so good.
Because
assault on Castle Black, the wildling invasion, everything was so good. Tyrion's trial. How did this not make your top five?
Well, so in my list,
Tyrion's trial should have made your top five.
In my 2014 best of document, like, I have a bunch of TV shows I considered, and then I whittled it down to what might make, and that's another one where it might suffer from it, you know, had a season early in the year, and then it's been a long time since it's been on. I didn't read the book since then, and maybe if it had just aired, I would feel different.
You don't just think about that show every day?
No, I definitely don't love that show as much as you do.
You don't mark it on your calendar when it's coming back?
No. I like that show a lot, but I don't live or die by it.
I thought I was a junkie in need of a fix, like going through withdrawal when that show ended. But man, that withdrawal does not go away. It's like January now, and I'm like, when is the show coming back? I think it's March. I'm hoping it's March. I can't do April. It better be March.
March, right? But everything's coming right at the same time. Mad Men, Game of Thrones.
True Detective.
I think Orphan Black, True Detective. Yeah. It's going to be busy. Yeah. I want to say it's April. I could be wrong, but I want
to
say it's April.
I'm going to have to read a book or something. Yeah.
But you still got books to read? Until that fucker George R. R. Martin stops writing them. God damn it. Why can't he do more stuff for us to read?
So I have a theory that... because I like the TV show more than the books. Having read three of the books, I can safely say I definitely like the TV show more than the books. I think the TV show is so good, you actually do not have to read the books. That said, having talked to other Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire fans, and I always thought it was Song of Fire and Ice. Song of Fire and Ice just sounds better to me.
No. That's the soundtrack to the restaurant.
I love that restaurant.
It's a great restaurant.
It was great. It was like $20 and you get like king crab legs and all the meat you can eat. Oh man, I would write songs about that place.
All the meat you can eat, the Billy Hanahan story.
That's an accurate title.
Although the early years, when they break it up into a two parts edition, the early years will be All the Meat You Can Beat.
Early years.
Sorry.
Maybe that should just be the title of my... anyway, back to Game of Thrones. So here's my theory. If you started Game of Thrones with the TV series and then read the books, you will like the TV series more. If you start Game of Thrones with the books and then watch the TV show, you will like the books more and you will complain on the internet about how crappy they're changing the storylines on the TV show. / come up to my desk at work and let me know.
I feel like that's basically the same for every book that's been adapted.
Except Harry Potter 4.
Harry
Potter 4 is my favorite Harry Potter
which
book.
Which way are you going?
Harry Potter 4 is my favorite Harry Potter book, but I think the movie is easily the... It might be the best. It's easily the most rewatchable Harry Potter movie. I will watch Harry Potter 4 more than I will read Harry Potter 4.
Gotcha. Yeah. But yeah, I would say for most people, whatever you started with is going to be better because usually the book is better, but if you watch the show or movie first, then the book just adds to it, and so you don't have to love it less. If you read the book first, the other thing is missing out.
This might be sacrilegious to some of our listeners who are big Harry Potter fans. I would go so far to say that the third and fourth Harry Potter movies are so good that you actually don't have to watch Harry Potter 3 and 4, even though they are read Harry Potter 3 and 4 anymore. If you wanted to, you could, but I think I would just go back to the movies over and over again.
I don't know. I actually reread all of them over the last probably year and a half.
Yeah.
And, they really are good. Like, all of our friends who are way into them.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Sometimes I think...
They're fantastic.
Like, I don't think anything bad about the books, but sometimes I think, how do you reread books so much? Like, I never reread books just because I already know what's going to happen. But those...
Oh, those are books
those
I love.
Those are so good.
Rereading
them is definitely a joy, and I'm not going to do it anytime again soon, but I can see why you'd want to.
Those are books I love to read over and over again. That said, those movies, particularly 3 and 4, 5 and 6 also, but 3 and 4, those are movies that I will just turn on, I'll just pop the DVD in because they're just fantastic.
I don't have any of the DVDs, but I wish very often that they were on Netflix streaming because they're not. Mm. Occasionally, one or two will be on HBO Go, but... They really need to be just on my TV all the time.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I probably should have cable so that I could turn on ABC Family and watch one.
If it's a weekend, it's on ABC Family.
I mean, when I had cable, they always... Chamber of Secrets was always on. By now, I assume more of them will be.
Right. Yeah. The first two Harry Potter movies aren't my favorites. They're a little... I think with the third movie, they really... decided they could step away from the books a little because they're not literal adaptations of the books, but I just think they're perfect. Although Goblet of Fire, easily the most perfect Harry Potter book.
Yeah, that fiery goblin, oh, he was awesome. Oh, yeah.
You're thinking of the Spider-Man movies again.
Yeah, the Goblin of Fire.
Yeah, the Green Goblin of Fire?
Yeah, the Hobgoblin of Fire. Yeah.
Selfie... It would have been.
So was that your honorable mention?
I had two honorable mentions: Selfie and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah, I considered that.
It was in my top five, and then it just got moved down a little bit by Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and True Detective, and one other show, Silicon Valley.
I forgot. Silicon Valley is so good.
Yeah, HBO. It might like my top five could have easily been four HBO shows.
You know what? The first time I saw it at somebody's house, I really liked it, and then I keep trying to get into it and can't. Is Veep? It's a little too cringy, and it's like,
yeah, I'm half,
why does everything keep going wrong? It just annoys. Like, I just feel bad.
I'm halfway through the first season, then I kind of like just started watching other things, and yeah, I had the same reaction. Although I think I enjoyed it a little more than you did. Like, yeah. I would keep watching it. It's just that I forgot to watch it and then started watching something else.
Also, as a person who just doesn't care about Seinfeld, I have nothing vested in Elaine, so...
You don't care about Seinfeld? Like, you didn't enjoy Seinfeld when it was on TV?
I watched...
That's, like, un-American.
Probably most episodes.
Right.
And just... There were long stretches. Part of it was, like, I didn't care about it. And everybody loved it so much that it just bothered me.
Oh, yeah. You're a contrarian.
That I liked a little bit less. Partly the Will Ferrell factor. Like, he's just not funny, but I wouldn't care if everybody else didn't insist he was. So,
he's so funny. I insist on that.
But, I mean, you know, Seinfeld, I won't go out and say it's not funny. It's not for me. Will Ferrell, I will say, I think he is just everybody loves Raymond level, not funny.
I enjoyed Everybody Loves Raymond.
I
wouldn't call Everybody Loves Raymond as good as Will Ferrell, but
it's just that obvious, like, I'm making a joke. Look at me. I'm making a joke that just doesn't do any. It's not clever.
We should get Will Ferrell on this podcast one day and have you guys debate on his humor levels.
We should.
We should have it moderated by Jerry Seinfeld.
It'll be very awkward, and I probably won't be as forthcoming as I would without him here.
Yeah,
but. I thought he was good in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He was in for like a minute.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, next time.
Next time.
Which we will record at a totally different time and place.
Different time.
Totally. But you
different
will listen
place?
To it. I don't know. You
different
will listen
place.
To it.
Listen
a week
to it.
Later, or if it's, you know,
one
like March by
week
now already.
Later.
You're probably listening to it now.
Later.
But we're going to talk about some stuff that came out in 2014.
14 podcasts.
We're going to talk about things that aren't for your eyes, not like movies and books.
We're going to stick things in your ears.
In your earballs. We're going to stick them right in there. We're going to stick them in.
Fast.
And we're going to talk about songs.
No.
We're
going to
talk
slow.
About movies. No, we're not. We did that. We're going to talk about songs, and we're going to talk about songs collected into albums.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about podcasts, some of which are about songs.
Really?
I mean, one of mine is.
Whatever.
Yeah. So.
Join us. Same.
Fuck you, 2014. You're done until next week.
I enjoyed 2014.
Oh, yeah,
I will not say that.
It was all right.
PR to New York City Marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It was a good year for Billy. Interviewed Adam West.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Met Breckenmeyer.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah,
interviewed Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, Mike Tyson. We had lunch, yeah.
It was a good year for Billy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right. None of that stuff happened to me. Wow. Wow. In those specific examples, my 2014 was horrible.
Sweaty Pants is getting all single white female on me. This is getting weird.
So, Brian, how was your 2014? Didn't meet Adam West. Didn't interview Mike Tyson. Didn't meet Breckenmeyer. Basically, it sucked. I mean, it was okay besides that. But
join us. Same Billy and Brian time. Same Billy and Brian channel.
No bats.
Da na 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 na